From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. The net toll from yesterday's tsunami in the Samoa Islands has risen to at least 82. The waves devastated many areas, flattening whole villages. Congressman Eni Faleomavaega says the main harbor in the America Samoa capital of Pongo-Pongo suffered major damage. Faleomavaega is astonished at how fast the wave hit the islands.
The earthquake was so powerful, it hit Samoa in a matter of 30 minutes. This is what really was shocking to me.
The U.S. Geological Survey says the earthquake had a magnitude of 8.0. Tsunami warnings were briefly issued on neighboring islands and along Japan's eastern coastline. The International Monetary Fund says the global financial system is on the mend, but still shaky. That's the finding of a report released in advance of the annual meetings of the IMF and World Bank. Steve Beckner of Market News International reports.
In its semi-annual Global Financial Stability Report, the IMF says risks to the world's financial system have been substantially reduced amid signs of improvement in the global economy. However, it warns there is a significant risk that the financial crisis and recession could re-intensify. Even without such a relapse, the IMF staff says banks' ability to make loans may remain so impaired due to past losses and the volume of bad assets still on their books that the supply of credit may fall short of even anemic private sector demand. What's more, the report warns heavy government borrowing could drive up interest rates and crowd out private borrowers, further slowing recovery. At the same time, the IMF says it is too early to withdraw government programs designed to achieve economic and financial stability. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
Former Democratic fundraiser Norman Hsu has been sentenced to 24 years in prison for violating campaign finance laws and defrauding investors. Hsu was convicted earlier in the year. NPR's Robert Smith reports.
The sentencing ends the remarkable criminal career of Norman Hsu. Even though he was a fugitive for 15 years, he was still one of the top political fundraisers in the country. And all that time, he was also running a $50 million Ponzi scheme. Hsu conned the money out of investors and promised returns of up to 20%. He told his clients he was investing in clothing and high-tech companies, but instead he was spending it on himself and on politics. Hsu used campaign donations to attract the attention of the rich and powerful, whom he then enticed into the Ponzi scheme. His contributions to Hillary Clinton during her presidential race ended up being an embarrassment for her. Clinton had to return more than $800,000 linked to Hsu. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.
In Tokyo, the Nikkei average is up 6 points at 10,106. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow lost 47 points. This is NPR News. The top general in Iraq plans to send about 4,000 troops home by the end of next month, reducing the number of U.S. forces there to around 120,000. General Ray Odierno is expected to make an announcement before the House Armed Services Committee later today. The U.N. Refugee Agency says conflict and drought are forcing thousands of Somalis to flee to Kenya. The UNHCR reports refugees are arriving at an overwhelming average rate of 6,400 a month. And this is creating further pressure on the already overcrowded Dabab refugee camp. Lisa Schlein has this report from Geneva.
The refugees keep coming, but there's nowhere to put them except for the Dadaab refugee camps in northern Kenya. UN refugee spokesman Andre Mehechit says this complex is housing more than 280,000 Somali refugees, three times the population it was designed to hold.
The border is closed formally, but the border is porous, and indeed people are coming across that border and are arriving at Dadaab daily. Queuing up for registration and getting into the camp.
Torrential rains are falling in Kenya. Mehechit warns Dadaab is expected to be heavily flooded, and this is likely to cause outbreaks of disease among the hundreds of thousands of Somali refugees. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
In Beijing, downtown areas virtually closed. Police have blocked off Tiananmen Square, the Forbidden City, and other popular Chinese tourist landmarks in preparation for an extravaganza to mark 60 years of communist rule. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News from Washington.